Hey, you're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. There are very few artists who can do this, bring the past into the present in a way that captures both the nuance of history and the immediacy of right now in song, right? Rhiannon Giddens has done it just beautifully on her second solo album called Freedom Highway. Giddens is a founding member of the band Carolina Chocolate Drops. Her 2015 solo debut album called Tomorrow Is My Turn featured mostly cover songs that brought the voices of women, in particular African American women, to the fore. To make her latest album, Giddens opened the history books to the darkest parts and let voices who don't often get the chance to speak work through her, from slaves to the people who struggled through the civil rights movement to contemporary victims of racially motivated violence. Giddens co-produced her new album with another fellow fiddle player slash banjo player, Dirk Powell, at his Brobridge, Louisiana studio. It's made of wooden rooms built before the Civil War. It's rich with history, and it allowed them to conjure up the voices of the past and bring a spiritual element to the more academic research that Giddens used in writing these new songs. Our Nashville correspondent Ann Powers will talk with both of them about Freedom Highway, but first, to start our session, a song. It was inspired by an advertisement for a female slave letting buyers know they could also acquire her child. This is a live performance of At the Purchaser's Option.
Take my blood, but not my soul. You can take my body, you can take That was At the Purchaser's Option by Rhiannon Giddens. Rhiannon is here with her band at World Cafe, and I'm Ann Powers, speaking with Rhiannon and her producer and collaborator, Dirk Powell, today. Hello, Rhiannon and Dirk.
Hello.
Hi, Ann.
Rhiannon, you've explored many different ways to approach history in your music. You've played vintage instruments. You've done the great folk thing of song digging, finding songs from the past. You've explored theater, and you've written your own songs, often based on historical research. How have these different endeavors informed your musical methods, your methods of songwriting and of performing?
Well, it's really there's no formula, you know. The main thing is I like to call it input and output. So just, you know, go through phases of vast amounts of input, you know, reading books and you know, doing research and listening to a lot of music and just going out there and you know, collaborating with people and meeting people. You know, it's just kind of like having all of that go in, and then it gets synthesized in some way and, you know, wants to come out again.
Well, music and art is sort of a form of time travel. And on Freedom Highway, you tell the stories of enslaved people in many of the songs. These are stories that are hard to find firsthand and which have often been distorted and misinterpreted throughout the years. Yet you really find a way to inhabit the souls of your characters, not only their sorrow, but their audacity, their determination, their humor, everything. Is it daunting to try to speak for voices that are so lost, in a sense?
No, and I say that because I didn't really feel like I had much of a to do with those songs, if you know what I mean. You know, reading about that time period and trying to get into that world as much as I could. I mean, those songs just demanded release, you know. So it was really a matter of getting out of their way and sort of being a conduit for them. They really were sort of from beyond, you know. So I feel a great responsibility to them and a great responsibility to those stories and to those voices. But I don't feel like I'm making it happen, if that makes sense.
Well, one thing about living in the South is that those stories are immediate, even if historically they're so long past. I mean, there are markers everywhere you go that talk about the Civil War, that talk about antebellum times. And while the evidence you found in the archive, like, for example, the ad you found that inspired At the Purchaser's Option, which talks about how a woman slave is being sold and the purchaser can choose to buy her child or not. It's so heartbreaking. And while that ad may be in an archive somewhere, I don't know, living in the South, I feel like that the vestige, the stain of those realities is just everywhere. And I don't know if you felt that way growing up in North Carolina, that it is something people have to figure out how to live with. The past, as you've said before, is present all the time.
I mean, I feel like the society that is the result of all of those things is what we face. I mean, in terms of what the markers are, you know, it's Confederate soldiers and you know, Lincoln. Like, you know what I mean? It's like these people, these folks, which is the whole impetus behind wanting to write these songs, is having their voices represented in some way in whatever platform that I have, you know, because the lives that they lived and all of the whole system surrounding that, you know, it's indelible. It has made such a huge mark on not just Southern society, but American society, because people forget that, you know, it didn't just exist in the South and it wasn't just affecting the South. I mean, everybody was profiting from the system, you know, and, you know, there was slavery everywhere until it was outlawed in some place, you know, so it's actually at the fabric of America and not just the South. And that's part of the problem is that we tend to, you know, say, well, it was just down there.
Well,
you
know, that advertisement was from a New England paper. So that very ad that we're talking about was in a northern paper for the slave that was for sale.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a bigger thing.
Well, yeah, there was the slave trade involved the North and the South, and really in a sick way, the manufacture of slaves, which is a horrible word to put on it, but was definitely what the system was. And it is the foundation of so much in our culture and in our economic system, too.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the manufacturing of the system that enslaved people, because you can't make a slave. There's a person that is born, and then somebody decides to enslave them. And so that's important to remember, because that has been put upon us for, you know, a long time in the educational system, is that we were slaves. Well, you know, there were people who were born, and then there were people who enslaved them. And that's a very important distinction. But yes, the economic engine of, you know, American slavery is not just limited to America, too. I mean, so many European countries benefited from this and, you know, owe their modern success to, in large part, to a lot of the wealth that was generated during that time.
I'm Ann Powers for World Cafe. We're talking to Rhiannon Giddens about her new album, Freedom Highway. There were nearly 4 million enslaved people in the American South in 1860. And as you say, the mark of that system influenced the whole country. And of course, in the West, also the subjugation of Native Americans. It's just an ongoing story. Yet the way that history is taught to us, those realities are presented as long ago and far away, almost alien. Your music, this record, Freedom Highway, puts us back in the middle of that reality. And I wonder, do you feel that audiences will genuinely go there with you? Is it hard for you to dwell there at times?
I mean, I guess that's two separate things. I feel like the audience, we've been touring now for a large part of this year, and the audience is very willing to go there, because I think we all feel like, you know, this hasn't been dealt with. You know, we on the surface, you know, have talked a lot about stuff, but haven't really dealt with the shape and how we are, how we are. And so I think people are, it's kind of, there's the time has come that people see what's happening now, and it's like, these things don't happen in a vacuum. You know, some of the stuff that's been happening recently, it's like, it's been happening all the time. It's just been hidden, or, you know, it's not been reported or whatever. But, you know, you have a through line that goes all the way back to the beginning of this country, and any country that's born the way ours was is going to have, it's going to have these long sort of this lineage of issues, you know, especially since we've sort of covered it and rewritten and changed, you know, the narrative to suit feeling better about ourselves. But it's like, it's not even about feeling better about ourselves. It's like, look, you know, there's a canker at the heart of America. And until we, you know, root it out and actually bring it to light, you know, I don't really think we're going to get substantial, you know, progress in terms of, I mean, we have had lots of progress already, but to get any further, I really think we have to expose this stuff. And to do that, we have to be able to talk to each other, and we have to be able to not take things personal, and we have to be able to be educated about it. And we have, you know, there's a lot of that stuff. So we just do what we can by, you know, providing a through line in our show, and to provide a context and an emotional shortcut for people to some of these stories, you know, and I feel like that's what we can do, and we feel great to be able to do that.
Well, for you, does it ever feel emotionally overwhelming, or does your sense of mission help you deal with these stories and living with them all the time and living with these voices?
I mean, there's moments for sure. I have to make sure to, you know, take care of myself, but it's like what I always say is that, you know, these people lived it. Like, the least I can do is sing about it and talk about it, you know? So it's, you know, when you really look at it in the context, it's like, you know, I'm going to be okay. I just have to, you know, there's moments, yeah, where it's just kind of overwhelming, because you can't sing the stuff without getting in the space, because that's not doing it justice, and it's not being responsible to the song to just sort of toss it off, you know. So you have to get in there every night, and, you know, I just have to make sure that I can continue to do that, and that's the main thing.
Rhiannon, Freedom Highway does share these crucial stories. But it isn't all just a serious history lesson. There are fun, sexy, joyous songs on this album, too. One is The Love We Almost Had, which seems almost uncharacteristically confessional for you, although I'm not saying its story of an almost romance is your story. It's also a universal story. But I wondered if that was new territory for you to write a contemporary feeling song that people might think, is that actually from Rhiannon's life?
Yeah, it's definitely out of character for what people know of what I do. But, you know, that's the lovely thing about being a musician and an artist is that you keep growing, or just being a person in general. You grow and you try other things. And you know, that was just a really fun... there was some stories in my brain and that came out as lyrics and friend, you know, I worked with a friend of mine who set the music, and you know, it just turned out to be such a cool number for us to do. And you know, it's a part of the story too. I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's not all the hard stuff. You know, everybody's living these lives of almost, and you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, it was important to put that universality in there too.
Well, Rhianna Giddens, I would love it if you all would perform Love We Almost Had.
Thank you.
That was Love We Almost Had by Rhiannon Giddens. I'm Ann Powers for the World Cafe. Let's talk a little bit about the tools that preserve cultural DNA. Throughout this album, you play a minstrel banjo, something you've talked about before, a replica of an instrument that's different than the contemporary banjo. And Dirk, I know you're also interested in the relationship between vintage instruments and contemporary ones, between the way a building built in 1850 might sound when musicians are in it and the way a modern studio might sound. So I'm curious about that balance of recreating sounds from the past and placing them in a present context so they also feel immediate, and how that works just on a practical level with the instruments you're playing, the studio, the environment you record in.
Yeah, I think as Americans, you know, we get taught that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, where you come from, sort of, or who the previous generation is, you can be anything you want. You know, that's kind of the theory of the American dream, is anybody can become anything, and you can move anywhere, and you can follow it, and these things of history aren't relevant. You know, they're something that you can choose to embrace or not. But so often I think, you know, it's kind of this thing where you are meant to take a journey, but if you don't step off of some solid ground, how do you start a journey if you don't know what the first step is, what you're stepping from and into? And I think for me personally, that same feeling is tied to space and to instruments and things that have a lot of soul that has been put into them. And so my studio in Louisiana was built probably around 1850 or before. They can tell from the markings on the wood that it was cut with a crosscut saw, so it's old wood, because once they had circular saws, they didn't really cut lumber that way anymore. And that's one thing we wanted to do with this album, was to be in that space in Louisiana on the bayou and know that there were stories in these walls. There's 150 years or something of stories in these walls, and we don't necessarily know what they are, but we know that if we open the channels, that that soul and that feeling and some of those spirits will come, and like Rhiannon said, find an outlet. Those voices will find, if they find someone open to letting that through, then it feels like they have a presence. And you can call, I think people have different senses of spirit, obviously, but I feel like you can, spirits are there and you can call them forth, but just by being open to them and capturing that musically is a powerful goal that I know Rhiannon and I both share.
Freedom Highway's title track is a song originally recorded by the Staples Singers, and it's from the great era of protest music, or one great era of protest music, the time we often think of as the height of that kind of music, the civil rights era, the countercultural era. And it's interesting today that while many artists have been writing songs inspired by politics, we haven't necessarily had a new batch of anthems emerge. Maybe Kendrick Lamar's I'm All Right counts as an anthem. But I wonder if you think political anthems are something we need at this time, or maybe music serves a different political purpose.
I don't know. I think the situation with how music is disseminated now is very different than it was back in the 60s. There were a lot less strands, a lot less avenues. So there was more of a homogenous, you know, as varied as the music was, there was still more of a homogenous way of receiving the music. Whereas now there's the internet, there's streaming, there's you know, still shows, there's CDs, there's still radio, there's placements in TV, there's all these different ways of getting songs. So I think there's so much going out there that trying to, you know, settle on one thing that everybody's going to sing, I think is a hard... It's a hard thing in general. We're very fragmented in terms of what we consume in terms of media. So I think people, who knows, something may catch on and you know, some things have, and you can't really predict that, you know. But I do think it's harder now to have everybody under sort of one umbrella of a song, but doesn't stop people from writing them, you know, which is the important thing.
Well, I'd love it if you all performed Freedom Highway for us right now. That was Freedom Highway by Rhiannon Giddens and her band. Thank you so much, Rhiannon and Dirk Powell, for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you. And I just wonder, I would just love to say that we're in the studio was myself, Dirk Powell, Jason Cypher, Jamie Dick, Hubby Jenkins, and Lelania Harrington.
Love that band. Thank you so much. It's Ann Powers for World Cafe.